My topic this morning is a sermon I had been writing for 2-3 years and I never want to preach it. It's a sermon I felt one day I'll preach when it will be my last or going somewhere. Our journey on what? On earth. I managed to complete it, but it is it's a sermon that provokes most deep my emotions also and as a person. Because when I read it, I always go to the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "We are all born weak and helpless. All lead the same short, troubled life. We grow and wither as quickly as flowers. We disappear like shadows." One woman who lost her husband, they've just been married. She has been praying to have a husband, and in her late 30s, she got this man. And as they said by to one another, he was a truck driver. He, on the way, something went wrong in his body, and then he crashed, and he died. And she asked, as you console people when you are having funeral, she asked, "What was that all about? Can you tell me what is this all about?" One moment I was happy, and now I'm sad. Can you tell me what is it all about? Old I may be, but I was not old enough to answer that question. I was shocked. That's my sermon this morning. Our journey on earth, from life when we are born until what? You die. What is the meaning and the purpose of our lives? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. You are the author of life, our Father. And we would like your will to be done in our lives. Lord, as we pass through, ask some questions and seeking some answers. My sermon won't provide all those answers, Lord. But Lord, I pray that may it be a blessing if it can help each one of us to know and put our trust in you. This I do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself, at the end of your life, what has been the purpose of your life on earth? What would you like people to talk about you? Will they say, this person who was born and lived on this earth, his life made earth a better place to live on? Or they'll say, thank God he's gone, but you should not say thank God. It's difficult to understand sometimes the purpose of life. I always call it meaning and purpose, MP, on life, on death, on earth, MP. We all find life, we discover it. We never even choose it. We never even choose our parents. We found ourselves conceived, at which, if one of our parents never existed, we wouldn't exist. One of our parents existed for our existence. Without them, without any of them, we wouldn't be there. So we were. Again, looking at it, sometimes I wish I was born during Moses' time, in the Old Testament, or during this time. If you look at it, the coincidence of you existing comes only at a particular time and era for both your parents to exist and meet and have you. So what is the purpose and meaning of your life? People cruise through life without thinking about it. When I was in Zambia and Osaka and some areas, people are rushing around, and then I ask this question. Say, Elder, you are going to depress us. And if you think about it really, we are going to be in trouble. We just want to rush on and do carry on. You know why? We're just making money. You know, we just want to make money. Don't ask us questions. I say, what are you making money for? And for what purpose? Who is really your master in your life? You have to think about it if you're a human being. Why are you on earth? When I was a small boy, I used to play around too much with insects. You wouldn't have loved playing with me, really. I played with grasshoppers, praying mantis, a lot of these worms, you know, to dig in the earth there, I'll find it. I come from a sandy area, and within under there, I'll dig, I'll even find a hole. Ooh, there's a worm there. Ants, I knew all types of ants, and it was dangerous to go and tell my parents, because then I would get a bit of a rebuke. What type of a boy plays with ants all day? That's bad. But there was one wasp. I never knew about it, because when I dig, I'll find one with a worm in there. And then in the end of it, I'll just cover this, the sand back. And two, when I was doing some biology, or later on I bought a book of biology, there are certain wasps. I have to correct my figures very well, because then I wanted to find my biology book, but somebody has taken it. I used to look at this wasp. This wasp only lives for almost one day only. When it's born, it mates a partner, the mate, and its next thing is to find a worm in which it plants its own what? Eggs. Carry that worm, paralyze it, and go dig a hole somewhere. After it has done its job, at the end of 24 hours or after the day, what does it do? It dies. So immediately it is born, it is implanted in its system, that's its purpose and meaning on what? On earth. Find a partner, mate, eggs, catch a right worm, find it, paralyze it, put her, its eggs into the what? Into the worm, and then go into the hole, it will die. Those who hatch, they will do the same. It's very simple, that one, isn't it? Now what about us? What is really the purpose of our life on earth? A man by the name of Chabalala, I was a student nurse, I always bring this up because he touched my life, but more my fellow students' life. I was a student nurse at that time. This man was dying of cancer. They've been praying, and he was an Adventist in another church. They prayed, and he has been telling them, brothers and sisters, I think there's a time when you can tell God don't to heal and accept as it is. I'm not afraid of resting. What's the problem with you, brothers and sisters? And I felt, well, I think we should send him to Maluti Adventist Hospital. I think the Maluti Adventist Hospital will do something for him. So when he reached there, he told the doctors also, I know if you can't do anything, don't blame yourself. I think my time has come. And before he died, that very day when I went for lunch, by the time I came, he had passed away. He came to me and asked me, young man, where are you from? I told him, I'm from Zambia. I can see you're from Zambia. Why are you here studying God? What's your life? What happened? Do you know God? I said, I told how my parents were God and how I trust God. Young man, keep on holding to your God. You just go. I don't need you. You don't need me. I said, don't you? No, don't worry. You want to take the blood pressure, you can do it, and then you can go. Then my colleague, a girl, he saw her and called her. Can you come to me, my daughter? What is it? When you study, you finish. What next? What is really pushing you in life? Do you have God in your life? Well, I finish school, I'll be working, earn money, and then what? You are aiming like a car. You are working like a tree, a car. That doesn't have purpose. Which is finished, they put petrol in it, it carries people, they can make money. What are you, my daughter? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior in your life? She said, I've never thought about that. He sat down with her, told her his life story in short, brief way. and told her, you need Jesus Christ in your life. My time has come to go, but I felt I should share with you the beauty of Jesus, what he did in my life. And before I go, I want you to know that he's a very good friend. He can make you a better person. Without Jesus, your profession can be really harmful to the people. And then he prayed with her. After praying with her, he rested in peace. And his last words were, as she said, thank you, Lord. I'll wait for you when you come. What about us? And she was touched ever since. She will always tell this story. She will always tell the story of seeing a man who died with such peace on his face. Now, brothers and sisters, if life, we are all born, we know there's a life for our beginning. But also there's one thing we are sure. Each one of us here, long enough later on, we are going to do what? We are going to die, isn't it? Then why does it hurt so much when it happens? When it's the reality that we are born and then one day we'll do what? We'll die. Why does it hurt so much? I'll put my sermon in, I'll close in about 15 minutes. I just want to explore with you some few thoughts. One, that life and death is an experience you will have. It's been given to us. And God has given us that ability to write something in that chapter from our life, when we're born, and when we what? And when we die. If God comes quickly before that, then we all have what? Life, no death, because we won't die. Secondly, if you don't provide meaning and purpose in your life, mankind has a way of doing it for you. Somebody else will do it for you. And you will think you are the master of your life, only to find you are saving somebody else and not you, what you are meant to be. Last but not the least, I would like to suggest that only through God can you know the meaning and purpose of your life. And it will give you some examples in the Bible of some people who were able to allow God in their lives and made it. And their meaning and purpose of life also brought meaning and purpose to other people's what? Lives. And yet in the same Bible, and even on earth today, there are some people, because of their misconception of meaning and purpose in life, have brought misery on other people's what? Lives. So the first one is, if you don't know the meaning or purpose of life, the men's ministry have been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. You remember the place where Solomon says, it's vanity of what? Vanities. Life is meaningless. He had all the money, he had all the women, he had everything. But life still meant what? Meaningless. And next thing, he thought he would be a youth forever. Only to find an age caught up with him. And Solomon wondered, what was this all about? And when we do worship with my children, I say there's one person at an early age knew the purpose of meaning of his life. At 12 years of age. And who was that? Jesus Christ. At 12 years, he knew why he was on this earth. And he never allowed anything else to turn away from his own purpose. We have a problem. If you don't understand the purpose and meaning of your life, you won't understand why you are living anyway. And a lot of people have been asking experts, universities, lecturers, asking them, tell us what the meaning and purpose of life. In the end, they ask, you know that we haven't found out. Maybe you can give us some tips. What is it really? Okay. The meaning of purpose of life, as I said, if you don't do it, somebody else will do what? Will do it for you. In our Bible, we know that when the Israelites remained in the African kingdom of Egypt for some years, The Egyptians had all these indigenous people, they had all this knowledge in alphabet and everything. And they had plans to see that they leave a mark on earth. And then to make those plans and put them in place, they needed cheap labor. And what did they do? They converted the Israelites into what? In slaves. And used them for cheap labor to fulfill their plans. One person said, they build pyramids, big pyramids, isn't it? To create what? Something, purpose and meaning for their lives. They did it. And they made the Israelites know, you are here for the Egyptian system, whether you like it or not. An Israelite is born, he dies working for the what? For the Egyptian system. You read in the Bible, you find even there were some supervisors among the Israelites who had the chance of meeting them, who could go into the palace of the pharaohs and communicate with the pharaohs. The pharaohs became the supreme being. And the Israelites saved that system for how many years? 400 years. Only one man. And God was waiting for somebody who can question this system. Sooner or later, if you were an Israelite, they asked you, where are you from originally? From Israel. Yeah, we came. Why? Well, because of what? How did they come in Egypt? Famine. Yeah, that's not a good way of starting something, isn't it? Yeah? You should have come prospering, but you came of famine, yes. Yeah, even your brother, man, Joseph, was a myth, really. I know they said God saved Egypt from famine, but we wonder whether that was true. You guys came as what? And who was your forefather? Abraham. Okay, can you tell us more about Abraham? How was he living? He was living in tents, moving from one place. Oh, goodness me. So there was not any civilization of big houses or anything? Sooner or later, if you're an Israelite, after 200 years of teaching, you think your history is a myth. The Egyptian history, why you have evidence of civilization and building as the what? As reality. Only one family was stuck to their history, and that was Amram, and they taught their children. Moses went into the palace, he was educated there. He looked at it, he says, I'm not going to fall to this. The Egyptian system is not the meaning and purpose of my life. But who? God up in there. Now, some people think the Egyptian system was a bit poor. It was very rich. The Egyptian government today makes millions, if not billions, of what? Of dollars each year. Because people go there to visit, isn't it? The great pyramids of Egypt. They are one of the seven wonders of the what? Of the world. Looking at one of our Adventist writers, he says, some of the pyramids there, one of the biggest, had 13 acres of land and formed by 2 million stone blocks weighing 2 tons each. Now, if I don't understand, 1,000 kilograms of a stone and making bricks. You see, these people had really great civilization to make all those pyramids the way they are made. And each, I hear it took how many years? It took a span of 20 years, another one, and took about 100,000 men. And the pyramids were built on a 70-mile radius south of Giza. Those who have gone to Egypt know that. In other words, it stretched as far as Egypt, going as well as to Sudan. And the riches that was there, the coffins were made out of pure gold. I don't know, I think some Adventists go there. They've gone there this year. I've seen youth last year. This year, they've gone there to see and sit on those pyramids. People go there and wonder. I think the youngest, the one they found maybe died of TB, the pharaoh who was, People go there and stare into the face. I stared into the face of 3,000 years ago. Brothers and sisters, one of those pharaohs could have been who? Moses. Moses, according to Hebrews, said, I'm not going to be what? Part of this. But he chose. In Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 26 says, it was faith that made Moses, when he had grown up, refuse to be called on what? As a Pharaoh's daughter. But to do what? To suffer with God's people, than to occupy the joy of seeing temporarily. Today, we don't even know the grave of Moses. But his life and his writings have brought meanings and purpose to millions of lives on earth. You have to choose sometimes in life. Are you going to follow a man-made system of grandeur? Or are you going to choose what God says you could do for him, even if he doesn't promise you all the grandeur? You have to choose in life. Was not only Moses. Moses chose. He's not going to be part of the system of the Pharaoh. If you look at him today, if we were to evaluate Moses' life today, we're going to say, I think he was being insane. At 40 years old, when he should be maybe promising to be the next Pharaoh and enjoy the power, what did he do? He wanted to join the slaves. And then he runs in exile because he killed an Egyptian. Next 40 years, at 80 years old, you ask yourself, now this man who was educated in the university, he is now looking after animals in exile. What a waste. But to you, God, you are not wasteful. If God has something for you, allow him to do it. Don't allow the immediate gratification of human exaltation. Make you fail to understand why you are here on this earth. Not only Moses, who else? Abraham was called out of the city of Ur to live among the tents. The city of Ur had great civilization, had irrigation, had a lot of beautiful system there. But God called him out for a purpose. As much as God can call us out today in our modern civilization in order to represent him. The so-called modern civilization. I always tell people, civilization has been there all along. It depends. Even before Noah's time, it was there. And God calls you out because it's vanity humanity. If you were to look at cities of Nimrod, you go to Zimbabwe, you sit there and you wonder, how did these guys do this? How did these Egyptians make bottles out of graphite rock? Yes, they were civilized. They were using tools. They're human beings like you. Why do you think they are not? Why do you think you are in this era, you are better than them, then era? They were intelligent like you are. But the purpose is, what was the meaning and purpose in their lives which they left behind? What about Daniel? Daniel was amazed, isn't it, when he was taken away as a what? In exile. He could have said, oh, I'm enjoying all this free education and everything in Babylon. I should forget about God who brought me here. But what did they do with his friends? They knew God brought them there in order to glorify his name. What about John, the Revelator? John the Revelator could have said, oh, we have been disappointed, Israel have suffered, now Rome is the what? Supreme ruler. I'm not going to listen, and I'll just go on. But John the Revelator said, even if you, Rome, are the rulers, and Caesar, you're the great judge, there's a judge of all mankind. Who is who? God in heaven, and all nations, including Rome itself, will be judged by that God. Meaning and purpose of our lives. There are some people who thought the meaning and purpose of their life is to fight communism, and they can do it anyhow they like. Brutal, kill anybody, cut limbs, they did it. And some people thought the meaning and purpose of their lives is to fight capitalism, and they did everything they could do about it. And both systems have collapsed. Whether it's capitalism or what? Communism. They failed. Some people think, my purpose and meaning of life is to serve my country of Zambia, no matter what. Yeah? And something Zambia fails me. And then I find myself in problems. Some people think purpose, meaning and purpose of my life is how many cars and types of cars I'll drive. Now, don't worry, I've seen this in Zambia and Lusaka. It's amazing to see how these guys are driving these big hammers. In the same yard comes a big hammer, comes out, and they drive not slow, but flying like. And I say, oh, where do they get all this money of petrol? When others are, and then they come with a big boomerang of a car again, woo, out. And you can see even when they're driving, they're trying to tell you, please, can you give us space on this road? That's what they think life is all about. Until they become ill or they're in an accident, they've crashed and something goes wrong. What about you, brothers and sisters? What is the meaning and purpose of your life today? I want us to look at one individual as I wrap up, Paul. Paul was brought up in a system of Judaism. He also traveled abroad, but his system of Judaism, according to Ellen White, as she describes it, sometimes used to have debates, why didn't Jesus go into some of those schools? Because according to what Ellen White says about the Jewish system, is by the time they finished, they made Judaism look like it's the whole world. The Jewish people had been made, God made them the depositaries of the truth, according to Jesus' wages. But Pharisees made them to be the most exclusive and the most bigoted of all human race. That's not a good thing to say about you, especially if it's a prophet of God. Everything about their priests, their rulers, their dress, their customs and ceremonies and tradition made them unfit to be the light of the world. Why? Because they looked upon themselves, the Jewish nation, as the world. But Christ commissioned his disciples to proclaim a faith and a worship that will have nothing to do with caste, with country, faith that will be adapted to all peoples and all nations of the world. And if you hear, that's a great commission to us also. Remember, this year, we've been having this to evangelize even the English people, yes. If our message is tainted by any particular nation alone, then we are not going to be an effective what? We are not going to preach the gospel of God. Because God is not of one particular nation. He's of all the people. It is a problem when I see this thing, even in my country. There are some people who feel the way they do things in Zambia is the way they should do it everywhere else. And you sit there in the afternoon, the studies are arguing bitterly how they feel this is not should be done this way, and they end up almost coming to blows, some of them. They even want to fight. And they are even misusing the what? Misusing the scriptures. And I tell them, brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, the spirit of fighting is not from the spirit of God's love. So both of you have gone wrong. And you are making God a Zambian. God is not a Zambian. And God is not a Seventh-day Adventist. And because you are making God a Seventh-day Adventist, you are not going to be a good witness for him. Why are you bickering around? No, there was no, even in the Bible, there's nowhere where it says, Dorcas as a society was formed in the Bible. It was an individual. Then I asked him, brother and sister, pastor, where is it written this in the Bible also that Sabbath school is there? Tell me. Oh, yeah, Sabbath school. Yeah, I know, brother, are you being heretic? I said, you see now what you are trying to do. You are using logic and you are bringing problems here. Let's look on how we can reach people, ordinary people on the streets. How does God use his love for you to reach ordinary people on the street? Stop this bickering and arguing all over. Look, if you, in the end, you God, a person on the street does not know the word, God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Because we are bickering over whether Dorcas was formed in the Bible and anything, then we are very far. Because we have told ourselves the meaning and purpose of our life is just being an Adventist. And then you are getting yourself into problems. Paul was one of those. He served his nation. If anything was contrary to his nation, what did he do? He eliminated them. Today, Stephen, if you rose him from the dead, fortunately he died with the Spirit of Christ. If he dies like some of us with a vengeance, when you woke up and find this Saul, he's the man who did what? Who killed me, this one? Because to Saul, he could not see anything that threatened his Jewish nation. He eliminated you, arrested you. Until he met who? God himself. And God told him, actually, that's not the purpose and meaning of your life. This is it. If you read it, and I would like you also to know, that's what Paul did. And I would like us to take that as our personal one. I like, when I read it, I always feel touched by what Paul said. I told them, even when I was in Zambia, I can't die for Zambia, I can die for God. But I can die in the land of Zambia, express, protect people's lives, especially the ordinary ones, from the rich, anybody. Because that's what is my God-given position by my tribal people. But for you to tell me to die for Zambia, I wouldn't die for Zambia. I'd rather die for God. Zambia was created by the colonialists anyway. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. When I came to you, my brothers, to preach God's secret truth, I did not use big words or great learning. For while I was with you, I made up my mind to forget everything else except who? Jesus Christ. And especially his death on the cross. When you heard my song, Jesus kept me near the cross. That's my glory. I don't glory in what I have, in education, anything. That doesn't stop me from learning. I learn every day. I want to study. But my motivation behind is God's love. If the meaning and purpose behind everything you do is not God's love, you are a dangerous asset. Like Paul did. When he was Saul, when he became with God, he realized his secret is not in what he did, but in God's love. And he told them in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how much you speak, you never ever spoke in such a way that the whole world would listen to you. The whole go like this, wow. And even the angels, can you imagine if you were to speak and the angels listen to you? And they say, wow, the whole they are listening to you. But Paul says, if you don't have what? Love. Then you are what? You are nothing. Supreme God, supreme love to God, and to love a man as your neighbor, as yourself, is the what? Is the basis of our purpose and meaning of our lives. If you don't have God's love in our lives, so much that it can make us respect each other on an equal basis, we are going nowhere. I don't see it very much in UK here, because even in Cambridge I don't see it. I see it in Zambia where I go, where people think what they have makes them better than the others. They pick on how much knowledge they have over things. They forget to treat each other as human, decently. And I stand up and say, okay, I don't agree with you, brothers and sisters. No matter how brilliant you are, we start life together and we all do what? We will die. What would have been the purpose or meaning of our lives? For me to live today, the pain I saw when I saw my father and mother, when they got educated, they forget their traditional principles. And they were bickering in the house all the time. And one of the things which happened was I had to be taken out from the family and be raised by one of my grandparents. And I always remember her, because without her, I wouldn't be here today. I used to be a child who used to walk, run around, but that's what I was told. And then suddenly, I could not walk anymore. I was crawling again. They took me to the hospitals, the experts, but unfortunately that time, Brother Amos was not there. So they felt there's nothing they can do. They said, he looks physically fine. And this grandparent said, I'm going to take him. One of the grand, you know, I don't know how I can explain to you the line of how he becomes my grandmother, but it's one of those. She looked after me very well. I don't know, I'm saying that because they tried everything else, didn't work with her. Nothing, she didn't do anything, she didn't give medicine. After 2 months, 3 months, I was walking, I was running. All I needed was what? was love. And knowing that as a child, as I'm there, I'm appreciated and loved. My parents were chasing professional careers and so forth. And I was left. Fortunately, there was this lady who was there for me. She had her own children. And she did that. Only what needed was love. And I grew up. Next, when I was big enough, my parents came and collected me. That's the good thing about our system. Where they fail, somebody else takes over. And then when I was big enough, because I was alone, I missed them. May they learn from their mistakes also. My brothers and sisters, all you need is love. And God's love. Not love of the so-called Hollywood, no. God's love of genuine, looking at you that you are on this earth for a purpose. So in the end, I like looking at that First Corinthians. I would be injustice if I don't look at it. Because that was the closing of my sermon, actually. It said, in today's English version, why did I put in my sermon now? I don't want to be injustice to the... It says, in today's LinkedIn translation, I read deliberately, if I move mountains, I wish I could, but I don't. But if I had that faith to move mountains, but I don't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to for the poor, even sacrificed my body, and I could boast about it, but I didn't love others, what do I do? I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. This is 1 Corinthians, brothers and sisters, and kind. Love is not jealous. Some people still argue that. But I agree with the Bible there. I'm not going to argue with you whether you should be jealous or not, but love is not jealous. It's not boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. You know that I become irritable sometimes. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Some people do keep. But if you want to know, let's go on 1 Corinthians. Love, it does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices with the truth. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and it endures through every circumstances. Prophecy and speaking of in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Three things will remain forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.